Greetings from ELCA World Hunger, and welcome to what we hope will be the first of many video blogs on public policy. These short videos are meant to highlight current relevant federal policy issues that impact hunger and poverty, especially in the United States. At the root, we know that hunger is an issue of policy and political will. You know, the old saying, if you teach a person to fish, they'll fish for a lifetime, was meant to frame hunger and poverty as issues of individual effort and education. But as any fisher will tell you, fishing is not just about the old man in the sea, as it were. And when you're fishing, you're acting within a wide system of policies about environmental protection and clean water, access to natural resources, sanctions on fishing seasons, even something as simple as creel limits on the kind of fish that you can keep. When we talk about hunger, we have to keep in mind the policies that surround the issue. Policies about food production and access, policies about wages and income, health and nutrition, and so much more. Joining us today is my colleague and friend, John Johnson, the Director of Domestic Policy for ELC Advocacy in Washington, D.C. John, thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, let's get started. So this is being our first conversation. Can you just share a bit about what you do? What is advocacy within the ELCA?
Sure. So it's in the constitution of the ELCA that the ELCA will be a public church and that it will do, in fact, advocacy. I think people have, one kind of thought about what advocacy or lobbyists are. At the end of the day, I take what Lutherans and the ELCA as an institution care about. And I put those issues in front of policymakers, whether they are in Congress or in the White House. And I express our view on a number of public policy issues.
Excellent. Thank you. Important work indeed. When it comes to hunger and poverty, why is advocacy so important for those specific issues?
Because at the end of the day, as Americans, we have a corporate and a common reality where we don't let our fellow citizens fall below a certain level. And our mutual neighborness as Americans means that we collectively, through our taxes and fees and other operations of government, take care of one another and ensure that we all have an opportunity to thrive and to pursue all the pursuits of all the things that we care about in our lives.
Excellent, thank you. Yeah, and so certainly, I mean, we saw the ways that some of those policies, and especially good fiscal policy that was rapid and that was widespread, can help to reduce hunger and poverty in this past year with the COVID-19 pandemic really driving rates of food insecurity much higher, not only in the United States, but around the world.
So I've got to say that the pandemic does have a silver lining. Hmm. And what it did is it meant we were all in it together. We were able to respond to the pandemic as a nation and as a global community very quickly because we have a government that supports our ability to work together for a common good.
Yeah, and certainly they've been pretty active already just in these first few months of 2021. Right now, as we're looking towards the summer, more people are being vaccinated. We're still monitoring the spread in some communities throughout the United States, in all communities throughout the United States and throughout the world. And obviously hunger remains an issue despite the ways that policy has helped to reduce the sharp increase in food insecurity in the U.S. last year. Looking at these next couple of months, what are some of the key policy issues related to hunger that we should be aware of right now?
Well, certainly we've got a lot of proposals being put forth by the administration and by members of Congress about how to rebuild and respond to the real tragedy of the last 15 months. And government isn't always the answer, but it certainly levels the playing field and facilitates how we work together in a common cause. And I would say that in a wonky way, appropriations for all of the different programs that we care about. That happens every single year, even when we're not in a pandemic. Those are things that we work on year in and year out. But we have other opportunities like reauthorizations, which is a fancy way of saying renewal of legislation like Child Nutrition Act. Every single community in our country has a school that feeds a child. And these big bills at a macro level always come down to the fact that we're feeding a human being, whether it be a child, a senior citizen, or a family. And child nutrition reauthorization is one of those ways that we work together as a country to ensure that our children have the nutrition that they need to learn. And then we, on the far further horizon, we also have a new farm bill that will be planned in 2022. And these are things that we have to pay attention to. And the farm bill affects so many parts of our society because we are such an agricultural nation. And so it, you know, these are things that we focus on. And I always like to say that when we're doing advocacy, it's a macro kind of a thing. But at the end of the day, it matters because it impacts people every single day.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's people behind those. And that's part of what advocacy is making sure that the people making decisions understand the stories of those people behind it. You know, a couple of things that you said there, you really resonate. You know, we had the child tax credit increases, right? And I remember when that came out, you and I were in conversation about it and looking at the data that we had, and people were so surprised. Child tax credits could really reduce child poverty by almost half,
45%.
Right.
And isn't it, it's kind of crazy to me, to be a Christian, right? And to, how do I make my Christianity, and how do I follow Jesus? How do I live out the Good Samaritan story in the 21st century? And in a weird way, we kind of do it through the tax code sometimes. You know, a child tax credit or the earned income tax credit for most of us makes our eyes want to glaze over. But at the end of the day, that tax credit helps a family with two kids or one kid or a single mom with two kids. You know, it makes such an incredible difference in how they are able to live their lives. And it goes back to that idea that, our voices as Lutherans, when we pair up with policymakers, makes such an incredible difference. Because we, at the end of the day, have credibility. Mm-hmm. We are the people in the pews that have relationships with the people that have needs, that pay taxes, and that have values that want to ensure that we are a whole nation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, what you said there about, things that seem so, no offense to your work, so wonky, like appropriations and things like that.
Right.
I mean, they obscure the reality that we know, as Christians, in the call to tithe part of our income, part of our wages, right, as a reminder of the community to which we're responsible.
Right.
We know, both as Christians and as people within society, budgets are moral documents. They reflect our priorities. They reflect our values. They reflect who we value. And how we value things, so you're looking at things like appropriations or the farm bill, which
right.
includes so many provisions related to hunger. It really reflects who, not just the kind of laws that we want, but who we want to be as a people.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I love about this work that I didn't even plan to say is that when I meet as a representative of the ELCA with public policy people and their staff, I feel so hopeful about our future because everybody wants to do what's right. And what we're called to do is to support and think and be creative in how we tell those stories and how we reveal, you know, where there are opportunities in our nation to be a more perfect union.
Well, and speaking of participating in the creation of that more perfect union, I mean, you're out there in D.C. You're right close to where a lot of these decisions are making. I'm in a small town in Midwest, right? Yeah. How do I participate in that? How do I become part of that effort?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that do not think for a second that your voice doesn't matter. It matters. I worked on the Hill ages ago. I know how important the voice of constituents are. And if you do not speak to your policymaker, someone else will do it for you. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you develop a relationship with your member of Congress. It's not very hard. They're home a lot. And you don't have to come to Washington, D.C. to develop that relationship. There are town hall meetings. Now we live in the age of conference calls and Zoom meetings. You know, there are so many opportunities to engage with lawmakers. And then there's just the old fashioned method of writing a really thoughtful letter. All of it makes a difference. A phone call makes a difference. A letter makes a difference. An op-ed or a letter to the editor in your hometown newspaper makes a difference. It adds up. But at the end of the day, we're about building relationships. Policymakers are people. They're just like us. And if we don't develop a relationship with them, they're not going to understand us any more than we will understand them.
Yeah, I think that that's an important piece to remember. You know, the opportunities that I've had in this work, you know, through your office to do visits with people on Capitol Hill or to talk to legislators, it really helps to kind of demystify that process. You know, and one of the things that I deeply appreciate about ELCA advocacy, you know, is that if you want to write a letter on issues that are of concern to the ELCA, you have letter templates available online. So you can use the template to personalize the letter or just fill in the information and send it out to make sure that your voice gets heard as well.
We always make it possible that you can edit part of that letter so that your voice is included. And that's really, really important.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, so looking like kind of long term, you know, what are the long term things that we ought to be paying attention to? Certainly Farm Bill is out there in the future. What are some of the other long term things that are on your radar?
So the child nutrition reauthorization has not been renewed in a number of years. Reauthorization is just another fancy way of saying Congress has a deadline on certain pieces of legislation. And when it gets to that deadline, it has to reauthorize or renew that legislation. And so we want to make sure that when it comes to child nutrition, in our schools and in our communities, we're doing what is most effective, generous, to be honest with you, making sure that we feed our kids well and efficiently, and that the tax dollars that people invest into this program are well spent. So child nutrition is a big thing for us. That said, we still have this ongoing pandemic, and we're going to have to be smart and we're going to have to be thoughtful about making sure that we keep an eye on the pandemic, COVID-19, and our response to it. Because I think if we've learned anything, we know how quickly a situation like a pandemic can impact the entire global community. And these types of situations impact hungry people and poor people first. Hmm. And so we want to make sure that we're ready to respond, that we're doing everything to prevent, and that we are engaged as a nation and as a global and as a church and as a global community to ensure that the most vulnerable people in our communities are not left behind.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, there's an opportunity here to not just meet the needs now, but to really reduce that vulnerability, in the future. And I think we'll hopefully look forward to talking some more about some of those issues down the road, you and I.
Right.
In the meantime, I just want to offer my thanks to you for joining me and for the work that you're doing and for helping us stay up to date on these critical issues.
Thanks for all you do as well.
Yeah, and we're hoping to have more conversations with you in the future. So if folks who are listening want to hear more, you can subscribe to the ELCA World Hunger blog at blogs.elca.org/worldhunger, and to the ELCA advocacy blog at blogs.elca.org/advocacy. And if there are things that you would like to hear more about, specific policy issues or legislation, please send your ideas to me at ryan.cumming@elca.org. That's ryan.cumming@elca.org. And from the folks at ELCA World Hunger, thank you to all of you for the work that you're doing to participate in God's unfolding promise of a just world where all are fed. And a special thanks to my colleague, John Johnson from the ELCA Advocacy Office in Washington, D.C. Till
Thank
next
you.
time, John.
All right.